Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. BFFT. Live from the home studios presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
I mentioned last hour that one of the focuses, one of the goals I had during coronavirus in this social distancing or physical distancing era that we're in was, I said, all right, I'm going to utilize this time being at home for my psychological well-being and physical well-being. I'm going to drop some weight. I'm going to be active, committed to routines. I've been riding the bike a lot. I go running with Anna once or twice a week. It's been good for me. When I don't do well are the days that I'm inside all day long. And I say that as I am hunkered down in the home studio. And sometimes there have been a couple of days where I did not go outside. And I'm like, that is not healthy. Don't feel well. But I always tell you, and I say it to myself privately, I go, all right, I got to thank Reflex for the knees. And I got an email from a BFT listener, Mark, who calls into the show occasionally. And Mark emailed me one day and he said, hey, I went running and I feel great. Another Reflex success story. So I know a lot of BFT listeners go to Reflex. I have as well. And I've been talking to a lot of small business owners about sort of how they, what is their story when it comes to coronavirus? What is theirs? And I think that there is an interest in the public in how small businesses are doing, because I think more than ever, we all kind of realize right now the value of small business owners, companies that do business in your area, my area, our state, just across state lines. And so I wanted to bring on Dr. Russ Riggs of the Reflex Clinic. I talk about them all the time. You get a chance to talk with him. Now, I've given him permission, too. He can talk all he wants about my medical procedures. All bets are off. There is no there's no legal reason for you not to talk about my knees, because I talk about it all the time, Dr. Riggs. So thanks for making time. Appreciate you.
Thanks, John. It's great to be on your show.
Give us the Reflex story. What was sort of your experience? I know you care about your patients, you care about your employees, but what was the Reflex story as COVID-19 sort of hit us?
Yeah, I think along with everyone else, COVID has created new challenges for all of us. Everyone on the Reflex team has made sacrifices. We've been closed for the past 5 weeks and hopefully are going to be able to open next month. But our patients have been so supportive during these challenging times. Our team really has pulled together. Even though we had to furlough most of our clinical team with the plan to hire them back once we're able to start seeing patients again. So it's been hard, but I know a lot of businesses are facing the prospect of not even being able to reopen, you know, for considerable time. And I just know a lot of people are hurting out there during this challenging and unprecedented time we're all living in.
Yeah, and it's for me, like I've seen nothing like it. I was trying to think today about my lifetime, and you know, we had 9/11, we've had coronavirus, you know, there have been tragedies nationally, but you know, we've seen people not just get sick or have loved ones who have passed, but people have lost their jobs or small businesses are threatened. And you know, I talk about you guys because I do think that it's a service that you provide, not just in employing a bunch of people and being a business that is part of the community. You guys have supported the BFT Foundation. You care about kids in the community. And you're one of those things where, like, I literally think without you guys stumbling into my orbit that I would have still been limping around, Dr. Riggs, and I would not have been well without PRP or stem cell treatment. So I think there's a lot of people out there that you have, you know, you have helped. And so I'm eager to see you guys get back open and be able to safely work. Have you guys thought at all about protocol when reopening? Because I think there is a little daylight with the governor sort of saying that, you know, some, I see dental offices are going to start to reopen and stuff. And I imagine you guys will be in that next wave.
Yes, we are planning to open on a limited basis, and there will be several new safety precautions set in place. For instance, patients will not wait or sit in the waiting area. They'll stay in their car, and we'll text them and bring them in, screen them. Everyone's going to wash hands before and after, wipe down all surfaces, you know, just taking extra precautions. Because our number one priority is keeping our patients and staff safe.
Dr. Russ Riggs is our guest, reflexknees.com, to see the reflex story. And you can see my case study on their website as well. Let's talk specifics for people who are having knee pain. Now, this has probably been, I imagine that, you know, you guys are going to get hit with a wave of people who are going, hey, I've now spent 5 weeks. I've realized I've tried to run. I'm in pain. This is a great time, I think, for people to get on the calendar. Can they get on the schedule now by calling? And what do you tell people who are suffering right now as far as, you know, what can they do in the interim?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And it's really important that people understand the single best thing to maintain knee health during these strange times is to stay active. You know, when you say you've realized at the end of the day you haven't left the home, I would encourage people to get out, take a walk around the neighborhood. If you're not in a position where that's possible, even walking in place while listening to your show or a podcast or watching the news, cartilage needs to be loaded to maintain its health. And so inactivity reduces the quality and thickness of cartilage. So just getting up and walking around for a few minutes every hour is one of the best things to keep that specialized cartilage tissue healthy. And then the other thing would be, you know, basic stretching of the quads, the hamstrings, basic, you know, strengthening like a few lunges or wall sits, anything where you can keep those big muscle groups engaged so they don't atrophy, because when muscles get weak, joints do as well. When you lose that stability, the joint function really deteriorates. So what I'm hoping we don't find is that people have not been able to stay active and are having exacerbations of knee pain due to increased levels of inactivity. But that would be the single most important message during these times is get out and walk 10, 15 minutes a day minimum. And if you can do that a few times a day, that would be ideal.
For me, I had 3 knee surgeries before I even met you, and I wish that I had maybe probably late in my college baseball career found Dr. Russ Riggs, young Dr. Riggs, and said, hey, what can we do about these knees? Because you probably could have given me some proactive treatment and some advice that would have saved me surgeries, but you got me after anyway. PRP, stem cell treatment, I've talked about it as game changers, but I literally say it's a miracle, Dr. Riggs, because I felt like that was going to be my new normal, that I would just be in pain forever, and I am pain-free. I can run. I can ride a bike. I can play with the kids. What happened with my knee tissue, as you recall, and you've seen, I'm sure, thousands of patients, but what are your recollections of sort of my story?
Well, you had an amazing response, John, which we're very happy for. About 85% of our patients respond very positively. I wish that number were 100%, but when you're using regenerative therapy, such as platelet-rich plasma or stem cell therapy, you're dealing with cells and tissue from an individual that has been affected by genetics, nutrition, activity, overall health. If they're on medications, those will affect the cells. So there are countless variables that go into those cell-to-cell interactions. And with you, you were able to, you know, with those treatments, get that inflammation inside the knee, under control. And with stem cell therapy, that's the only therapy where there's potential for some cartilage regeneration. And as you and I reviewed your cartilage images together, we saw those changes. That's not everyone, and certainly is not expected, but it's very nice when we see changes in the cartilage matrix like we saw with you. So many prior athletes might not even have major symptoms like you did. You were limping. You were extremely limited. Most people just have a little stiffness. They stand up, and after about 5-10 steps, they feel fine, but they're stiff for those first, 30 seconds or so, and lots of people don't get that checked out, but that's the time to get symptoms checked out is before they become severe, because the success rate is much higher in the early stages of knee issues rather than when advanced structural damage has already occurred.
Somebody's listening to this and says, okay, I'm stiff, or I have a limp, or I'm in pain. I'm sitting on the couch. I've got sort of an arthritic pain. What's the right time to call, and can they get on the schedule right now if they reach out to you guys?
It's probably not going to be realistically until June that we're going to be able to accommodate a lot of new patients because we do have quite a backlog. Our patients have been so supportive and loyal through this, but they've also made it very clear that as soon as we do open, they're wanting to be seen soon. But anyone with even intermittent knee stiffness, especially prior athletes with any recurrent knee symptoms, should have their knees evaluated, because the current medical paradigm is waiting until there's structural damage and then trying some medications, maybe some physical therapy, and then referral to an orthopedic surgeon who will say when things are bad enough, we can replace the joint. So patients are caught in this gray zone between diagnosis of arthritis or another degenerative knee condition and joint replacement or a surgical procedure that they may not need. So the message we're trying to get out is at least get your knees evaluated by a non-surgical specialist, hear what your options are, try the non-surgical treatments, and if you're in the 75 to 85% of people who respond favorably to them, surgeries can be postponed and even avoided. That's our passion and our goal, is to try to help people avoid surgeries if they don't need it, get out of knee pain, and get back to living active, more fulfilling lives.
Dr. Riggs, I appreciate what you've done for me. My kids should be the one thanking you, because I was running around in the cul-de-sac last night with them, and I literally do think that every time that I break a sweat or go for a jog. So thank you for what you've done for me, and keep up the fight. I appreciate you. I appreciate the work that you do.
Well, thank you, John, and stay well out there. We appreciate what you do, helping us feel connected during this socially distanced time.
Dr. Russ Riggs, go to reflexknees.com. Hey, look, I keep bringing on the sponsors and the supporters of the BFT Foundation and supporters of the community, and I'm bringing them on not just because they want to, hey, bring them on, let's give them a plug. No, I think it's incredibly interesting right now, and I think there is a public interest in what the small business owners are doing to stay in business, to keep their employees employed, to keep their patients or customers safe and their employees safe at this time. And if you're some, and I have heard from people who've gone, hey, do you know if they're going to be open? Do you know if they're going to be procedures? And they were part of, Governor Kate Brown saying non-essential medical procedures like dentist's office and others were sort of shut down in the initial phases of the coronavirus outbreak. But it looks like that some of that is going to be lifted. I know a lot of dental offices are talking about going back to work. I saw a story on that. And Reflex Clinic is starting to stretch out and loosen up and get ready to be helping patients as well. So if you are somebody who's got knee pain, you want to be seen sooner rather than later, I would reach out now. I'd reach out and try to get on the schedule. And Dr. Riggs and the team can help you. ReflexKnees.com, that's the website. The best sound from all around is coming up. Punch It Audio. Kevin Durant opened his mouth and something controversial came out. We'll talk about that and more. Somebody's asking me today what the best video game I ever played was. Think about that. I want your answer to that. What's the best video game you've ever played? 503-417-7575 is the phone number. We'll play Punch It Audio bottom of the hour coming up. I used to go to the arcade. I used to get on the bike at my parents' house. We lived about a mile outside of like the nearest stoplight in town. We were a little bit rural, and we were in a town that was an agricultural town. And so I used to ride my bicycle down what was a two-lane highway that had cars whizzing by me. It's crazy. I think about it now. I was like 12 years old. I'd be riding my bike on this narrow bike lane. Cars would be vroom, whizzing by. And I always rode against traffic, not with traffic, in part because I had had a couple of near brushes where I was riding with traffic and you don't see the people as they're coming behind you. I know I'm supposed to ride with traffic, but I got to be honest, I rode against traffic because I was like, you know what? If I'm going to get hit and died and killed here, if I'm going to die here, I want to see the car. Like that, at least I have a chance. If I can see a car kind of veering out of its lane into the bike lane, at least I go, okay, that guy's veering out of the lane. I got a half a second to try to bail. If I get hit from behind, you have no shot. So I remember riding my bicycle. It'd be a summer day. I'd be going to meet my friend Wade down at the arcade. He lived a lot closer to the arcade than I did. And he'd ride his bike there, and I'd ride my bike there, and I had a pocket full of quarters, because this was back in the day. This was like, you know, I have about $4 in quarters in my pocket. I'm riding. I have shorts on. Like, my pockets from my shorts are dangling down around my pedals, because they're just full of quarters. And I get down to the arcade, and then I didn't even have to lock my bike up. That's how safe the town was that I lived in. And I go into the arcade, and then we used to play like the track and field game. Do you remember the track and field game? You had to like hit the two buttons really fast to run. And then there was Punch Out, the boxing game. I love those games. Galaga. I was big on Galaga. Of course, like Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, and I'm dating myself from the era. But there's two different things. If somebody says, what's the best video game you ever played? I might have a different answer. But if they said, what is the most beautiful video game you ever played, it would have been a game called Dragon's Lair. And it was, I've never seen it before or since, but in the summer of my 12th or 13th year on this planet, Dragon's Lair appeared at the video arcade. And Dragon's Lair was a little different in that it was literally like a video movie. And then it would approach different segments, kind of a choose-your-own-adventure feel, and then you had to make a split-second decision with your joystick or a button in order to do this or do that, and then it would react appropriately. It was sort of the beginning of video games advancing very rapidly. Dragon's Lair was, like, awesome. But that was just a pretty video game. I think the best video game I've ever played might have been NBA Jams, or Punch Out, or even that track and field game. That track and field game, man, was it good. So good that we wore the buttons out of it over that summer. And then there were people who figured out tricks. You could bring like a comb or a pencil, and you could lace it between your fingers, and you could use it to hit the buttons faster. And pretty soon you weren't running like a 9.7 100-meter dash. You were running like a 9.4. Blow everybody's mind in the video arcade. What's the best video game that you've ever played? 503-417-7575. I would say outside of sports for me, it was Galaga. I was not much of a Pac-Man guy, but I remember Galaga. I remember Dragon's Lair. I remember Punch-Out. I remember NBA Jams. He's on fire! And then I remember the track and field game. Maybe I was just a sports guy. Judah Newby, best video game you ever played?
Boy, I was a Sega Genesis kid growing up, so Madden 97, as well as Triple Play, All-Star Baseball, I think that was 99, Movon, man, I mean, just so smooth, he killed it out there. Those were kind of the games, the late 90s sports games for Sega Genesis, but outside of sports, probably Sonic the Hedgehog. I loved racing Sonic the Hedgehog and Tails. Sonic and Tails, that was my jam.
I also think that there's something that will become evident in this, and I think it's, Judah, if you don't mind sharing, what is your age?
I am basically 28.
Okay, so you are probably a generation, when I said video game, you thought of yourself at home playing. I thought of myself in the arcade itself playing, and I don't think very long after me it did transition to everybody being at home, because by the time I was in college, it was Tecmo Bowl, and it was the original Nintendo Tecmo Bowl, and it had four plays on offense, and if you had Bo Jackson or John Elway or Joe Montana, you had a huge leg up on everybody else if you were the Niners or the Bears. I remember being in college and talking trash about Tecmo Bowl, and it came down to, you know, do you play with Bo Jackson as your player, or do you play with the Bears, or do you play with the Niners? It was those three teams who had an inherent advantage in that original Nintendo. So you can pick a home video game if you'd like. I want Adriana's as well, but let's go to Kendall, who's in West Lynn. Kendall, best video game you ever played?
Well, you just said it. Tecmo Bowl, it just happened to be in that age when, I don't know, maybe sixth, seventh grade, somewhere in there, where you'd have all your buddies together, and you could literally waste a whole night waiting for, I got next.
Yes.
Tecmo Bowl was huge. The other game that was always big at the little corner market was Spy Hunter. That was a big game back in the day that, you know, and we still go down to the arcade downtown and go play. But
correct me if I'm wrong. Spy Hunter was the one where you could do like an oil slick or a smoke screen behind you.
Yeah. All that stuff. And it just was one of those games that was kind of cutting edge at the time. You thought was the greatest thing ever.
I love that. Who'd you play with on Tecmo Bowl? Who was your team?
Well, we always said nobody could have Bo. I mean, that was the deal. And so
it's just off limits.
You just couldn't have it. It wasn't even fair. But one other thing, when, you know, one of your big supporters of the foundation, when Bricks first opened, Nostalgia and Mark had put, we had Track and Field in the back of Bricks before it was the Whiskey Room. So we had that little tucked away game back there for the first couple of years that we'd go back there and play for hours.
But, yeah, I could get lost back there. Good stuff. I'd let you play with Bo Jackson. I'd let you, if you want to be, you know, look, you want to be the Raiders, you want to be Bo, you can do that. But I got to be the Niners or I got to be the Bears, because I did discover in college that some of the unstoppable plays could be stopped, but there were tricks to it, and I'm not sharing them on this radio show because I might play you one day. Josh is in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports Eugene. Josh, give me your video game.
Yeah, I'm going to give you two, even though you didn't ask for it. So on arcade version stand-up, there was a game called WrestleFest, and that was WWF. It was a Royal Rumble, and depending on who you were, Earthquake, Million Dollar Man, you could trigger a finishing move, and that was always pretty awesome, especially if you're Earthquake. Consoles, Joe Montana, and that was when I learned.
Lost you there. I lost you. I wanted so badly to know where that was going. Adriana, what's your video game?
Console is GameCube. Video game would be Monkey Ball 2 or Mario Kart. And then a little bit later on the Xbox, FIFA, like 12 or 11. Or I think like 12 or 13.
Love that. Rick's in Eugene, listening on Fox Sports. Eugene, Rick, give me your game.
All right, so I'm in the 40 age range, but I played a lot of video games. I played football at Mississippi State, and during the 90s, I must say the best games I ever played were the Mortal Kombat, Madden, and more recently, Call of Duty. The Mortal Kombat games, man, I mean, they were so challenging. People showed up with their own controllers. Like, we were up all night in the dorm screaming, hollering, man. And the Madden went all across campus. It was like dorm for dorm. Who was the best in the dorm? You know, let's meet up 4 or 5 in the morning. Got practice at 7. But Madden was all night, man. And my last one, stand-up, arcade, I have to go with Donkey Kong. Classic.
Classic Donkey Kong. Barrett Peary, the Portland State men's basketball coach, texted me listening to the show. He said he snuck many quarters from his dad's change jar to play Punch-Out and Donkey Kong. That's true. I remember, similar to the caller, I remember having, like, those showdowns. It was over Tecmo Bowl, though. It was somebody trash-talking that they could play, and I was like, nobody could stay with me on Tecmo Bowl. There's just no way. I could not be beat. If I'm having a good day, I'm not going to get beat. And ultimately, what frustrated me in playing Madden and some of the other games that you probably enjoyed, Judah, as you grew up, was I had a friend who played and we played the college football game. I believe it. Well, I don't know what it was called. One of the original college football games. It might have been Madden College Football or something like that. But he used to. There was a play clock, and he would sit there and he'd run the. If he had a 10-7 lead, he'd run the damn play clock all the way down every play.
He was already killing the clock in, like, the third quarter.
Yes!
Just, like, milking it all the way with a 3-point lead on a video game. I played with guys like that. That's tough.
I just pull the machine out of the wall and say, this is over. If we're just going to sit here and watch you bleed down the clock, 19, 18, 17. That's not fun. You got to snap the football. That's why I like Tecmo Bowl. You got to snap the ball.
I got
snap the ball and play.
Some Tecmo sound just to take you back here, John.
Yeah.
Ready, love down. It. Put.
Oh, yeah. That's it. That's all you need. Simpler times, man. Simpler times. All right, Punch and Audio is coming up. All the sound, the best sound from all around.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.